So I'd just like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Forrest and Dr. Friedman, and I have no financial relationships to disclose. So 7.2% of adults that had worked in the past 12 months are in temporary positions, and this is increasing as a percentage of our workforce. Non-standard temporary workers are more likely to be injured than regular employees, and individuals with these temporary employment contracts are less likely to return to work within 3 months of injury, making injury in this group a big problem, and temporary worker status has kind of become a NIOSH and OSHA priority because of things like this. So we wanted to see if how temporary agency Illinois workers' compensation claim filings compare with direct hire employees in terms of claim rates, total award, days of work missed, and percent disability. So we looked from 1980 to 2012 at the IWCC claims and determined cases that were filed primarily against temporary agencies and compared that to a one-to-one randomly selected control group of direct hires. So there are a total of 27,396 claims for temporary workers. So claim rates, you can see we looked at from 1995 to 2012. There's a little glitch in the data around 2005-2006 with the lag of reporting and data sharing. So we think that dip is primarily due to the problems with the data set, not an actual trend. And if you look from then on, it stays between like 11 and 12 injuries per 1,000 workers. And the denominator was determined from the BLS Census of Employment and Wages and by looking at the NAICS code for temporary workers. So here you can see the demographic tables comparing the two groups. Males comprise 70% and gender was not significantly different between the two groups, which is kind of contrary to the dominant narrative that temporary workers are males. And the narrative also says that they're likely to be 18 to 25 or seniors. And here we saw the big section of claims at the 25 to 34 year range. And also, they're a vulnerable population, so the narrative says they're less likely to use an attorney, but we found that more had attorney representation than direct hire employees. The big thing that matters to me in this, too, is the difference in the average weekly wage. It's significantly lower for temporary agency workers, which is to be expected by the nature of employment, but like $340 per week compared to $550, and this will factor in later. So looking at the body part and cause of injury, temporary workers were more likely to have upper extremity injuries or systemic, and the cause of injury for both groups was unclassifiable, and then the top that were classified were slip, trips, falls, related to our earlier talk, and then overexertion, struck by, against, repetitive trauma, or caught in, under, and between. There's a lot of problems with looking at this kind of data in the data set because it's filled out by lawyers or the person that's representing themselves and not by doctors. So if you look at the data, it can get pretty messy and a lot of it is missing. So the primary outcomes is the total workers' compensation award, the total temporary total disability, which is the time that you have to take off work, and the percent permanent partial disability, which is what the occupational doctor determined to be your lingering effect of this injury. And so here you can see that the median payout for temporary workers is less than half of that as direct hire workers, and that the time off taken off is also less for temporary workers, but about equal for the permanent partial disability, suggesting that maybe there's differences in compensation and time that you're able to take off work despite similar levels of disability and injury. And then there were differences in permanent total disability and disfigurement, but the numbers were really small and the trends in like claiming that change over time, so we didn't really focus on that aspect. So we then did median regression, and so temporary worker status, percent partial disability, and temporary total disability were determined to be significant predictors of the total award, which isn't surprising given that this is generally a mathematical formula that's determined and used by the courts. But when you add average weekly wage to the model, temporary worker status becomes highly insignificant. And then permanent partial disability as an outcome variable was not really linked to temporary worker status alone. And then temporary worker status was a significant predictor of temporary total disability, but became insignificant when adding permanent partial disability to the model. So the demographic information that we see here is contrary to the dominant narrative on temporary workers, but this may be because these are only temporary workers that have are filing claims that are being litigated in court, which could be really different than, you know, a lot of the employees out there. And temporary worker status itself does not determine claim outcome, but it is highly correlated with factors that do, such as that weekly wage and different things, and time taken off work. If you feel like you can't take time off work, that TTD doesn't get reimbursed the same because you have less days off. And then some major limitations is, I mean, it's well documented how bad the workman comp data set can be for many, many things. And then determining temporary agencies is imperfect. We kind of had to use just different models and then try to go through to filter that data out. And like I said before, the database is completed by lawyers and not doctors, which means some of the health information might not be what we would perceive it to be as clinicians. And then the filings had that lag around 2006, and we also didn't match by year of injury, which looking back now, we think we should have. And so further applications or studies from this would be to use this to develop maybe lists or types of materials to help assist with enforcement and policy change. If you know, has to wait for a worker to report it to go and inspect, but if they see worst offenders, maybe they could prioritize those type of workforces. It would be interesting to compare this with other working comp systems like single-payer states like Washington, and then further examine the claim rate comparisons based on economics, because temporary worker as part of the labor force is really dependent on the economics of the time. And then I think another good application would be to look at priority areas, so subdivide injuries by severity or different things. One example would be amputations. See if temporary worker status is really being affected there, since that's a lifelong injury. And then look more closely at the recent claims, because we saw that change after 2006, and those recent years are more likely to represent what's going on now. So I'm on a trainee grant through NIOSH with my program at UIC, so I want to acknowledge that, and thank you all for your attention.